Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com.
Hello and welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip. And we are actually together for once.
Live.
Sort of live. Live-ish.
Live with each other.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at you, which is right.
It's kind of fun.
I'd like to do a live show. We should do that. We have some interesting news to cover, but I'd like to bring something to the light. So we had a lot of feedback about our woke commerce episode a couple weeks back.
Oh, that was a fun one.
Somebody said, and I won't name names, although we appreciate their listenership. But they said that we sounded like the two oldest people ever to talk about the word woke.
Well,
and that we don't understand what woke means.
Well,
I want to set the record straight.
Well,
why? What do you think, Brian?
Oh no, I just got referred to as coming across as a Gen Xer. You came across as a baby boomer.
Yeah, apparently, supposedly. Which, you know, if that means I get a pension, then yeah, I'll be a baby boomer all day long. Give me that, please.
Oh, they don't get pensions.
There are plenty of baby boomers had pensions. So
I should be a baby boomer.
let's get the record straight. We know what woke means. All right. We're woke to the word woke.
Are we?
I don't feel like I need to explain myself.
This is why I looked up the definition in Urban Dictionary before the episode started. In
yeah, fine, okay, but you're not helping your case here.
Dope.
The point is that not a week after we published that episode is an article on Retail Dive specifically about the concept of woke washing.
I mean, this wasn't just Retail Dive. It was like a big trend on even like LinkedIn.
Yeah, a lot of people were talking about it. And I think what I wanted to talk about, you know, without going back to the whole woke commerce discussion.
Why not?
But to comment on this phenomenon is I think there's something about this particular time of year. So we have Pride in the month of June, right? We have
July 4th.
4th of July in the United States here, which is, you know, very patriotic. It's our Independence, you know, Day celebration. And I think this particular time of year, you see a lot of brands who, you know, are positioning a lot of social
posturing.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah, maybe. So
that's where you're headed, right?
That's where I'm heading, is that there's a lot of marketing hype that's built around things like patriotism and socially conscious messages like a celebration of pride. So I think what's interesting is that it's not just woke washing that we're talking about. I think it's any sort of advertising that is pandering to a message to a particular people group. And that, if you want to call that woke washing, maybe. There was an interesting article that was also featured, I think, in Marketing Dive not too long ago. It wasn't just called woke washing. It was called trust washing. And effectively, so at in 2019 at Can Leon, the Unilever CEO, Alan Jope, I believe, basically said that, you know, running purpose-driven campaigns but failing to take real actions is beginning to infect the advertising industry. And it's interesting because in this Marketing Dive article, they had referenced an Edelman 2019 Trust Barometer survey that said 81% of customers said they consider brand trust in purchasing decisions, but only 34% of them actually trust the brands that they buy from. And further, just a little more than
that
half.
That seems high to me, actually.
53% of consumers think that brands trust wash or that they aren't as committed to society as they claim to be. So, with that as sort of the topic, I thought we could take, you know, both a positive and negative spin on like who's doing it well, right?
Well, I think that the brand that we brought up on the woke commerce episode, Patagonia, is doing it really well.
Right.
And because, and I think that This was actually a topic of discussion recently, but like people are getting much better at seeing through BS.
Hmm.
Like if you're not being authentic, it's going to get lost. Like we were talking with a friend of ours who felt like the whole Colin Kaepernick thing with Nike was posturing. And, you know, whether or not it was or wasn't, it felt like it to him. And he's a very like aware customer who cares about these things and also cares about sports. And so, you know, it's interesting what can come across as authentic and what doesn't. And what's truly authentic. I think most of the truly authentic things that happen in business, a lot of them weren't even highlighted.
Mm.
And so I think it's if you're highlighting something that you do to your customers, that's for a specific cause or issue, and you're highlighting it yourself for marketing purposes, that's not very woke.
Hmm.
And so I think that effectively, like if you do something for selfish reasons, that you know, that's not necessarily very woke.
I'm going to try not to say the word woke after this
You're
moment.
Right. Okay. You're right. Good luck.
What I would like...
We're talking about that right now.
I know. It's specifically what the whole focus is of this episode. I think that it doesn't just stop at, you know, woke commerce, like woke washing. I think that patriot washing, like the display of patriotism is absolutely a thing.
So you can put it on any category. It's
right.
Not like, I see what you're saying. Like woke is just a broad term.
Right.
We could call it...
Woke washing.
Patriot washing.
Patriot washing, like pride washing or like, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could, unless they actually are doing something that publicly backs up their commitment to a cause, then it's basically...
But what if they even
it's
are?
Lip service.
Let's use
the example that you used, which was Patagonia.
Yeah. They're very public about what they do.
Very. it's kind of incredible. So, you know, Patagonia, you know, sort of famously, very recently, we didn't talk about this on the show, that they have a corporate sales program where they sell to other companies, including nonprofits and other organizations. And they basically said they're going to shift the focus of that program to increase investment to certified B corporations. And, you know, the idea here is they're, you know, Patagonia is very much like the brand of the, you know, VC, Sand Hill Road, you know, leather sneaker wearing, Patagonia vest, you know, khaki, you know, it's that there's an aesthetic that goes along with, you know, a certain type of a person. And, you know, effectively, right. Yeah, exactly. that does, you know, work in a certain type of job, does not align with the company's, with Patagonia's, you know, political leanings. You know, they very publicly back in March came out in support of the Green New Deal, which most people, you know, most of the, I don't know, most of the banker, like especially Wall Street types that probably, you know, buy and are fans of the Patagonia brand are probably not fans of
VCs and
there's like a VC on both coasts. So,
The
point that I'm making.
Yes, see the point you're making.
You see the point that I'm making
100%.
Is that Patagonia is putting their money where their mouth is, and they're saying, we don't need your business, right? We'll do business with other people. The thing that we're doubling down on is that we believe that our commitment to the environment and our commitment to companies that have sustainable business models is what matters. And we would rather lose some business in pursuit of something that's right and just, that aligns with our values, than go in search of the almighty dollar. Can everybody say that? Nobody, like very few other businesses can go to that extent, right?
Right. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're dead on here.
So I do believe woke washing is a thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And it's not just one thing to know it instinctively, to feel it, right? And when you see it, you notice it.
But I think there's also like, and this is not a devil's advocate point here. This is I think that there's some truth to what I'm about to say, which is there's levels of this, right? Mm. Like a brand might be very clearly for profit and, you know, get out there to make some money.
I would hope so.
Right. And they might contribute to something that is important that in some small way. And that might be a real, like a legitimate, like, position of their company and something that they actually care about. And they've done it in a small way. I guess what I'm getting at is, do you have to be all in to be completely authentic? Does that do you see what I'm getting at here? Like,
well,
effectively,
okay,
like,
fine. But again,
you can do things in an authentic way in small steps.
What if we go back to like the opening phrase of the article that we've referenced, which we'll link up in the show notes, you know, if you just take two examples of ads that have been run by, you know, basically the opening line is phenomenal, by the way. And this is Peter Adams at Retail Dive. So credit where credit's due. But mm-hmm. A razor company talking about Me Too and a burger chain talking about depression, like that is what we are talking about. That is like,
right.
Those are social discussions,
right.
Social issues that I don't believe Burger King and Gillette have larger corporate commitments to support. They just want to be part of the zeitgeist they want to be part of a social conversation.
That's relevant.
Well, yeah, I think
popular.
People might argue it makes them irrelevant.
Right.
Right. So the right, that is absolutely woke washing. Like that,
yes.
that is.
To be fair, I don't think Burger King's was actually about depression. I think it was actually kind of a, to me, it was a little bit more.
You think it was like, I believe that it was.
It was a little snarky.
Yeah.
It was a little snarky.
No one's happy all the time. So
yeah.
We have a sad meal.
Yeah. I think it was a little snarky.
Okay. Angry meal. You want an angry meal?
Yeah.
So you don't think they were commenting on mental health?
I don't.
So they weren't commenting on mental health and Nike wasn't, you know, commenting on Betsy Ross.
I was not saying anything about Nike, but I do think that Burger King was doing a little play off of,
right.
Off of the Happy Meal, like it was, it was a bit of a joke.
I don't know.
We don't have to take everything so seriously. That's another thing. Like, Now the criticism that we got also was like, effectively, if anyone is a corporation, then they're not woke.
Right.
And I get that. But also, like, let's maybe put a different word on it. Maybe we've taken the wrong word here.
Okay, like, fine. Whatever the word is, I guess what I would like to say is. There are brands that are doing
social awareness commerce.
Right.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, that's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
We'll use woke. Yeah, or woke. Trust washing. I like trust washing.
Yeah.
I do. There are people that are doing it well. There are brands that are doing it well that are committed to doing it well. In fact, Emily Singer, who we met recently on an article, she has this really great newsletter called Chips and Dip.
I love Chips and Dip. I mean, I love Chips and Dip, the food.
Yes.
But I also love this newsletter.
For people who haven't heard of Chips and Dip, could you just set it up while I look for it?
Effectively, this is a newsletter about really the cool stuff that's happening in direct to consumer.
Right.
And what I love about it at the end, there's actually a dip recipe as well.
Yeah, like so the chips is like, you know, bulleted list of all these things that, you know, are cool news in like the DTC world. And then then there's, you know, her take on
a particular story.
And anyway, she's a brilliant writer. Please go check her out. She's great. Everlane always comes to mind, and recently heard dip number 11, the chips and dip number 11 is really, really good because what really it's talking about operational transparency, brands, market sustainability initiatives. Everlane always comes to mind. That's the one that Everlane, you know, if you go and shop on everlane.com, you'll find that there is a like carbon calculation for every garment. So they've gone to the you know, to the like to the point of every single part of the making of every garment is ethically sourced, and it shows you where it's sourced from, and the percentages of where they come from and who, you know, who works on the creation of the clothing. It's an interesting.
Which, by the way, if you want to check out a really cool brand that does like ethical sourcing like better than anyone and is like an early adopter here, check out Crochet Kids.
Crochet Kids.
Yes,
that's a new one for me.
Yes,
that's a new one for me.
Yeah, the founder Cole Cresselius was at I knew him in college. Unbelievable brand. They're Nordstrom, or they were Nordstrom, and really interesting. Really interesting brand. Every single article of clothing it has the maker's name on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. We'll have to link that one up as well.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries for every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com.
Emily Singer, the point that she was making is that slow fashion presents an antidote to many of the pain points around large scale production. She's talking about brands like Older Brother, First Right, and Fight, which Fight, by the way, I would love to own a pair of Fight shoes one day. I'll have to take out a second mortgage to do it.
I feel like you've already taken a second mortgage out for shoes.
I have shoes that are more expensive than that. That's true. but they're sneakers. What's really interesting is that she teases out a story from a brand called Elizabeth Suzanne, which is a Nashville-based line that's producing tailored and hand-sewn made-to-order clothing. And
well, that's my jam right there.
And they were recently criticized for posting a job for $14 an hour starting salary. And the argument basically says that a brand that calls itself sustainable without providing its employees a sustainable wage isn't truly a sustainable brand.
Ooh, not my jam.
Okay, it's super interesting. But the company's founder responds to the criticism. I'm reading from the newsletter here via Instagram story, saying that the $14 wage is nearly double the federal minimum wage, and it's one of the many ways that the brand invests in its employees, as well as that company's financial model, which they're very transparent about. And basically, it's like, they source and dye their textiles locally. They sew their products by hand.
It's impressive.
You know, they don't package in plastic. They do everything thoughtfully and with intention and still can't win. So even a brand who has thought from end to end how to do things the right way, who is objectively probably woke, will still struggle with naysayers who tell them how not woke they are, right?
Yeah.
So I guess
how far is too far? Right, like, it's not too far.
That's what you're saying. Yeah. I think what you're saying is at what point is it just unfair criticism? Like, nobody can actually do it
right
perfectly.
Right. Let's see authentic steps. Like, I think that's what we're looking for. And ultimately, like, this gets back to just our most recent episode, but like it needs to be clear that you care about the communities that you're involved in. Mm. Whether it be the community of people that you're selling to or the community of people that you're sourcing from, like I think that's the key here is you need to actually care about the people that you're engaged with and you affect.
Yeah, and I would actually ask our audience, because I want your input. Maybe it's a great way to, it's a snackable content. Maybe this is where we end it. I'm not sure. but I'd love our audience to weigh in, because I'm curious, if you set out to be socially conscious as a strategy, is that inherently undoing the good that you're trying to accomplish? Like, is that itself, by making that a strategy,
right,
does that itself basically corrupt the values that you supposedly possess?
Yeah. Like if you're putting a financial engine behind something.
Right.
Behind a social cause, effectively.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I guess, and it makes me question my dedication to certain brands like Allbirds, who have that element to the story, and they say it's sort of foundational to the story. In fact, they had a great article. It was paid content recently about their commitment to the Audubon Society, which I thought was really interesting. It was New York Times. That's why. The New York Times. And it was called The View from Above. Really beautiful article about why, you know, our future may depend on the fate of birds. You know, the fact that they are, you know, they don't spend the entire article talking about how their, you know, shoes do some good in the world. They're, you know, how they're creating ethically sourced, you know, bamboo, you know, and sugarcane foam and wool that's, you know, renewable research. They don't even talk about themselves hardly at all. They're actually creating content that is truthfully about birds. Like, it's truly about birds in partnership with the Audubon Society. And I think that, like, that is a really interesting content marketing approach to having a sustainable message without beating people over the head.
Say what you will about Gary Vee, but, like, this is exactly what he's talking about when he talks about unselfish content.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, putting stuff out into the world that there's zero tie back to ROI.
Right, yeah.
Zero
tie. Has nothing to do with, like, right. It's that you're sharing something that will enrich the lives of other people, and you're doing that unselfishly.
And you're investing in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our love for Allbirds continues.
I can't believe I just brought up Gary Vee plus woke.
You know what?
I am a Gen Xer.
We're gonna get some comments about that one. I will say, at least for posterity's sake, at the end of this paid content from the Audubon Society and Allbirds, there is a link that says learn more about how Allbirds approaches conscious commerce to make shoes in a better way. So they do, of course, they're going to, like, they have to at the end of something like this, which is, by the way, it's like a 2,500 word article. It's not small. They do, you know, turn it back to a link to their website.
I mean, and of course, you should always check out our sponsors.
You should. We'd like you to. And thank you to Vertex for continuing to support Future Commerce. And, you know, we want to hear from you. Go over to futurecommerce.fm, leave your voice and add your voice to the conversation on the show.
Wait, before we end.
Okay.
Ha.
Oh, no.
Yes, that was one of those.
Oh, there's one more thing.
Steve Jobs'd me. I do that all the time. Occasionally. Occasionally, I Steve Jobs.
Let's see if we have to cut this one out because it wasn't as good.
Well,
what is it?
No, it's just a little small follow-up to our woke commerce episode. And I figured this would be a good time to bring it up. But something just has been like flooding my mind. And I want to get a picture for what this would actually look like because it's so interesting to me. But you have this whole thing about how there are brands that are going under and leaving some markets underserved.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah. The digital divide, store closings and the digital divide.
Right.
Right.
But there's a great brand out there that's serving the lower classes or you know whatever it is.
We need to find I need to help you with that because every time you say lower class, somebody cringes and it's Tony Chirelli.
I know.
Yeah.
No, it's not Tony.
Who was it?
Leanne.
Oh, was it Leanne? Yeah. Thank you. We love you, Leanne. You know, Leanne, who's our director of content at Future Commerce, I should say. Leanne Hyken.
Dollar stores.
Sure.
I would love to see what a woke dollar store would look like.
You know, you didn't need any of this preamble. You could have just said that.
I know.
You should have just said that because it would have been better.
Like, I know.
What does a woke dollar store look
like? No, it's an interesting question.
Now you're shouting into the microphone.
I'm shouting into the microphone. These are not our normal microphones, so hopefully.
You're excited, but.
It is exciting. Like,
I don't know what have you thought about this? What does a woke?
First of all, should it even be a dollar store?
Could it possibly be a dollar store?
That's a good question. Well, no, I mean, there are certain things that could be responsibly sourced that could get into a dollar store.
Probably. I doubt it highly.
Like a pack of gum.
I don't know. Go to Whole Foods. What does a pack of honey gum at Whole Foods cost? Like $2.50.
No, but there, you could buy a piece of fruit for under $1.
Well, if you would find, okay, yes, and most dollar stores don't have fresh fruit in already, right? They already don't. So why would like?
No, but that would be very woke to have a fresh fruit dollar store.
I would love. Okay, what else?
But here's another thing I was thinking about.
I think the biggest problem with your dollar store analogy is that a discount store by virtue sources its goods that are cheaply made, you know, in areas of the world that have unfair labor practices.
Right.
Because that is what makes it a product that can be sold for a dollar.
So can we not have a store that serves the lower class?
I'm totally cutting all of this out of the show.
Oh, awesome. Excellent.
Yeah.
That is more affordable, that actually is sustainably created and produced.
I mean, I don't know anything about the business model at all, but it's something that just comes to mind that I saw. This is a terrible way because it's completely unresearched. But I don't consider, you know, Dress Barn might be more in the category of what you're talking about, which is what you're shaking your head. I'm trying to find an example of a store that's gone under that has, you know, that has very affordable and accessible clothing.
Right.
That, you know, you don't have to look far to find that even discounters are having trouble in an economy where people can afford better goods. And they still depend on areas of the country to purchase from them that aren't necessarily the ones that they serve the most, right? There's this weird halo effect of...
Right.
This has nothing to do with anything, but something to get your brain turning is... I was just speaking with a guy named... who we'll have on the show pretty soon, the CEO of Observa, which is a retail compliance agency. And that firm, they do some really, really cool stuff, so we'll be talking with them pretty soon. CEO Hugh Holman, and he was telling me that one of the interesting halo effects of digitally native brands opening brick and mortar stores is that they actually heighten awareness of activation into e-commerce. So everywhere that Warby Parker drops a physical brick and mortar location, it activates more engagement on e-commerce in that market. The same with Casper and the same with pretty much everybody else, even Marine Layer. Marine Layer is like a digitally native, you know, casual brand, and they themselves, in going clicks to bricks, see activation, and they're not as much of a household name as Casper. So this is a phenomenon that exists, and I believe that, you know, just by virtue of a Dress Barn existing in major metros, you know, help support the business as a whole that will serve their target customer, which is the person who doesn't necessarily live in, you know, in a city and make, you know, a six-figure income. They're not the coastal elites. It's the middle America that needs the Dress Barn the most. So all that to say, I don't think you can do a dollar store. I don't think you can be a discounter and be woke.
You just think it's possible.
I don't think it's even possible. I think by virtue of the things that the way that business model has to work, somebody loses out in the end, right? Somebody has to get the short end of the stick. From fair labor practices to like, think about the brands that put those values at the forefront, and they are premium brands.
Yeah, I think you're onto something here. I think this is kind of what I was driving at. Mm-hmm. Like a woke dollar store would be pretty empty. However,
I see what you're saying.
Yes, that's kind of what I was driving at. Mm-hmm. However, that's why I asked, should it even be a dollar store?
Right.
Because I actually think that even those with, you know, that maybe have a little bit less disposable income are willing to buy up for certain things and find that they can buy up for certain things. Like, there's not even really a dollar menu at McDonald's anymore. There really isn't. The only thing they have on there is like coffee.
Hmm.
It's not food. So my view is, I think we could have a $2 or $3 store and it could be sustainably created. And I would, that was my ultimate conclusion. I'd know very little about this. I think that we could see something like that succeed. And the closest thing that I could think of to that was Brainless, which is pretty interesting.
Hmm.
But I would love to hear from our audience what they, you know, their thoughts on this and how they see a store that, you know, could serve a broader set of, you know, and we are basically speaking about Americans here, but a broader set of consumers that is still sustainably created.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Brandless, and just also, I also know nothing about this. I think that's what's really interesting about us and more authentic than most, which is there's no pretense in that we're not going to pretend like we're experts on everything.
Did you just say we were more authentic than most?
Yeah. That I think is more authentic than most is that we are not pretending like we know things. We are actively broadcasting that we're figuring it out.
Like, yeah.
I think that's, you know, we're trying not to keep up a facade. And
yeah.
I think that's really important. And in knowing nothing about Brandless, you know, one way to promote sustainability in an organization isn't necessarily just like we ethically source goods. It's that we give back. And, you know, Brandless has on its about page that they've donated over 3 million meals with Pay It Forward and Feeding America. So I find that, yeah, like they really... There should be some message of this kind somewhere in the ethos of an organization. You're going to be hard pressed to find. Let's go look at Dollar Tree. Since we're already here, we've gone down this path. Let's go and find out what Dollar Tree says on its about page. Sustainability report. This is interesting. They have a sustainability report, 2018 sustainability report from Dollar Tree. Every day in each of our nearly 15,000 stores in North America, we help customers get the most for their money. In fact, with respect to product sourcing, testing, quality assurance, and internal requirements typically exceed those mandated by federal, state, and local. Well, this doesn't say very much, does it? All right, well, we'll have to look deeper into that. We'll have to look deeper into that at some point. I'm interested. I really kind of I want us to shut down this idea and let our customer listeners speak back to us. So please shoot us an email. You can do that, Philip with two L's at futurecommerce.fm or Brian with an I at futurecommerce.fm. Let us know what you think. And if your brand is woke, is your brand woke? Is it woke AF? Drop us an email and let us know. And that's it.
Retail tech moves fast.
Future commerce is moving faster.